This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's more Joy news and views at joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing global gay news, stories, and life to you one country at a time. This is the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Thank you to John and Leo, the boys of Sound Museum, and welcome to Worldwide Wave here on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom, joined here with Hikaru. Squirrel is not with us tonight, on hiatus, but with us in spirit, I'm sure.
I think she just couldn't take the testosterone from tonight.
It is a bit testosterone-y this evening. We are, of course, live in Melbourne, and this week's stopover is in South Africa. We'll be speaking with Francois Nel, former Mr. Gay South Africa and current Mr. Gay World 2011, and also a conversation with Lance Wire, Mr. Gay South Africa 2011. Apparently, it is a rather all beefy male lineup this evening.
Boys rule. Now, first off, we have a very interesting song from the controversial South African group called The Antwoord, and it is What Cake Ye?
Worldwide Wave here on Joy 94.9, and what was that again?
What cake, yay.
And that roughly translates to?
What are you looking at, I believe.
There you go, and apparently some of our listeners like it as well. We did get a nameless SMS. Clearly they didn't want to identify themselves because they proclaimed that they liked that song. Very nice song, love it, so funky. This week, of course, we are in South Africa, and it is time for Fun Fast Facts. South Africa. In 1994, male same-sex conduct was legalized. And of course, in so many countries, female same-sex conduct was never illegal to begin with.
I know. I don't know. What is it about man-on-man action that makes people so scared?
What is it that's so exciting for straight men about women-on-women action?
I know. Ew.
Anyway, the age of consent was initially set at age 19 for all same-sex conduct, regardless of gender. However, in 94. However, in 2008, it was equalized to age 16, regardless of sexual orientation. In May 1996, South Africa became the first jurisdiction in the world to provide constitutional protection for LGBT people via Section 9(3) of the South African Constitution, which disallows discrimination on race, gender, sexual orientation. Beautiful. The first. The apartheid government was hostile to human rights of LGBT South Africans. Homosexuality was a crime punishable by up to 7 years in prison.
7 years? Oh, my God.
Seven. This law was also used to harass and outlaw South African gay community events and political... Yeah. As you do.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Recognition of same-sex couples as de facto couples since 1999.
I do believe that's just, that puts them up on par with us right here in Australia, doesn't it?
It does, but of course they went one step further, and in December of 2005, the Constitutional Court of South Africa ruled that it was unconstitutional to prevent people of the same gender from marrying.
Wow.
When it prevented different sexes to marry. They said you can't do that, so... In November of 2006, Parliament voted for a bill allowing same-sex civil marriage. So, same-sex civil marriage, not too bad.
Yeah.
Recognized since, officially, the law kicked in since 2006. Children's Act of 2005 allows adoptions of spouses by partners in a permanent domestic life partnership. There you go.
Yeah.
Can adopt. Military service allowed to openly serve since 1998, but they've gone one step further. This is a rarity out there. In 2002, the military extended spousal, medical, and pension benefits to partners in a permanent life partnership. Not only
Wow.
can you be open and serve, the military says, you know what, you're married, I'm giving you the spousal benefits. That is amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, that's way better. I mean, we're still fine for spousal benefits here.
Having nothing to do with the military.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for the government to go that one step further and say, hey, That's I have yet to remember a country that has done that.
I can't think of a single one that's done that either. Well, I think that deserves some celebration. So we're going to go with a celebratory song. And if you speak Zulu, you can please send in the translation to us on air at joy.org.au or 0427-JOY-949 or 0427-569-949. Put that little 6-1 if you're in South Africa at the moment. And the song is Mendwele, and it is by Zola.
Zola?
Yes, Zola.
That's right. We are in South Africa. And coming up shortly, we have an exclusive interview with Mr. Gay South Africa 2011. Very much looking forward to that. But I think right now, do you have some more music for us?
I do. This is a song by a South African group called Freshly Ground, and it is called Working Class. How did it feel to win Mr. Gay South Africa?
Well, it was a great experience, and I was very honored to be chosen. It's a lot of responsibility that they entrust in you, so I was quite proud of myself for that.
One of the key reasons you wanted to win Mr. Gay South Africa was because you wanted to be a representative of South Africa's LGBT youth. Why is this aspect very important to you?
Before I got into politics, I worked in a school. I studied psychology, and I worked as a school psychologist with teenagers, adolescents in high schools. And I came across at least in the teens, numbers of young LGBTI people that were battling with their sexuality. And I mean, I'm sure you can remember being a teenager and gay is not the easiest thing. And times have certainly changed in that sometimes it's more acceptable and other times it's not. So it was a matter close to my heart because I'd had personal experience in dealing with it.
But you grew up in an apartheid, a South Africa that was divided. Do you think that still lingers in the gay community? Because it's what a lot of people think of when they think of South Africa, unfortunately.
Well, I'm a bit too young to have grown up in apartheid. I started school in 1994, so I started school in New Democratic South Africa, if you want to call it that. However, segregation still plays a role, and even within the LGBTI community, things tend to be quite segregated between, for example, gay and lesbian, and even along racial lines. So it's an issue that I've highlighted quite a bit because I can't understand why an already segregated minority would want to further segregate themselves. But it's something that we really have to work on, and I think it's something that only time is going to help.
When you were running for Mr. Gay South Africa and won, how many non-white contestants were there?
I've been counting my head now, about three, I think, that I can think of offhand. Four. There were four. Mm-hmm. Out of 12 or 14.
And in South Africa, I'm American, so my vision of segregation is quite different, but is it hard for black, gay, LGBT South Africans to actually befriend white LGBT South Africans?
I don't think it is at all. Generally, there is mixing. It's not a total sort of segregated thing. There is mixing, but in general, you tend to find, if you go to a bar, it's generally mainly black or mainly white. Although there is mixing, and white and black people are friends, and it is changing. So I wouldn't like to paint a picture that it's very black and white. It's not really the case. But there is still a lot of movement in terms of a space for movement in terms of improving the situation. I think the reason why we have fewer contestants of color is more because of in the African communities, it's seen as a huge cultural taboo, and their families tend to battle with it more, and especially those living in townships are more hesitant to be very open about their sexuality.
Onto a happier subject here.
Mr. Gay World is being held in South Africa this year. So do you feel a degree of extra pressure?
I do think it's extra pressure. One, being at home, obviously people expect you to have a home ground advantage. And also South Africa's won Mr. Gay World for 2 years running. So there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, we can make it 3 times. So there's a double sort of pressure on my back. But all I can say is I can try my best. And hopefully that's enough.
Thank you so much for speaking to me. And thank you for taking time reading your bio. I think that you are a great shining beacon to many South African youth and also gay youth worldwide.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to you.
And that was Lance Wire, the winner of and current title holder of Mr. Gay South Africa.
Yes, current title holder.
Now, he brings up a very interesting point. What did you think of what he had to say about the whole idea of segregation in the LGBT community? Because, if anyone would know segregation, it's a South African.
That's true. I found it interesting that he said that it's still segregated, and he tries to say, oh, I don't want to paint the picture that it's all bad, but he basically says that it is still very segregated. And I guess, let's be honest here, it hasn't been that long. I mean, what is it, 94 that apartheid officially ended, and then you've got all the different governments, Nelson Mandela, the great leader, you know. But relatively speaking, not much time has passed since
exactly
this has changed.
Let's compare and contrast it. Just in terms of the LGBT side of it, LGBT equality, although South Africa is now ahead of us here in Australia, it still is, you know, they went from pretty much zero to, you know, 100, so felt relatively speaking, when you think about it.
They did, but, and we've sort of talked about this off air a little bit, there are great things on the books, and while this isn't a country as profound as Romania in being so, let's put it all on the books, but then just completely ignore it, I think there was a lot of wonderful thoughts that came out in the early 90s or the mid-90s when there was all this change going on. And so they put a lot of this on the books, but there's a cultural change that needs to happen too. And you see that is a slow evolution when you talk about going to a bar and it being primarily black or being primarily white.
Well, it was very interesting what Lance Sora said when he was talking about how many non-white competitors they had. Now, South Africa is a majority African of black African countries, because we have to remember all Africans come in many different shades. Why do you think possibly, I should ask, have you ever been to South Africa?
I have not been to South Africa, but I've been to the country that they own next to it. What is it?
Namibia.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
But no, I've not been
they
to South Africa.
They don't own that anymore. It's its own country anymore. It's not West Africa.
They use
Africa.
The same currency. Anyway, go ahead.
What do you think is the whole issue there in terms of why they cannot get that sort of involvement between the race, from the minority? What is going on with the cultural change? Why is it still taboo?
Well, Lance specifically said that, you know, it's more of a cultural thing for the black African-American side, that it's a community
African-African thing.
is it African-African? But I can say white African?
Yeah, white African.
But I can't say black African.
Actually, you can say black African in this context. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there we go. But it was more of a cultural thing on their side, that within their communities, you know, being homosexual is still seen as maybe not, well, a little bit taboo, perhaps, he said.
But see, this is the other flip side of it. There's so many that, you know, the cultural taboos still got to break. There's got to be a couple mavericks that break through it. And the fact of the matter is, what image does this send to the rest of the world that, you know, South Africa still seems to us like they're saying gay rights and gay acceptance for some, but not for all, because of this cultural oppression. What are they doing to really combat that cultural oppression?
That is an excellent question. Why didn't you answer Lance?
I don't know. I don't know. I was blinded by his 24-year-old hotness.
That's understandable. But if you have an opinion on this, please, we always love to hear from you. Don't forget SMS 0427JOY949. You can always email us at our personal private email.
Oh, yeah.
worldwidewave@ymail.com.
Oh, I love the way you say that.
Thank you.
It's been so long since we've worked together.
It has been a little bit since we've had some of this time together, but let's bring some music in so we can distance that.
We're going to have a song by the band Adam, and it is Sommerlag, die Coca-Cola song.
The Coca-Cola song. Yeah, you spoke a
lot. Hi.
Hi there, baby daddy.
Excuse you.
Well, and also Big Daddy Tom, as I like to call you here. Welcome back to Worldwide Way, where we go to a different country every single week. Our country this week is South Africa, our friends to the far west. I guess. Are they friends?
They're further south too. They're sort of.
Yeah, they're way, 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 way to the west. But because there's nothing really from Perth. I'm just going to stop right there.
Where are you going with that?
Now, during this, I was blinded by the intensity and beauty that is Francois Nel inside and out. Now, we both took a look at Francois Nel. I was there in the interview. He was very kind. He is actually, talk about the perfect man in some ways.
Well, he is Mr. Gay World 2011.
Yeah, that's true. But more than that, he's got a good, decent heart inside because he's actually a medical student, believe it or not.
There you go. Yeah. Did not know that.
I didn't know that either until I literally just read his bio before I did the interview with him. And he also had talked very clearly and very succinctly about the one big issue that we have, and it's a very serious problem in South Africa, about HIV and AIDS. And he was that was a big part of his platform. So we are going to talk to Francois Nel right about now.
A great part of your platform was safe sex education, and South Africa has had horrible rates of seroconversion. How do you think that they can be reversed?
Well, yes, I mean, obviously, as you said, with the platform, you want to obviously advocate safe sex. And I do think, my hint was it has been, and also my feeling with feedback from the gay community, is that safe sex is something that has been, very, been upheld very much in the gay community, especially because I think we sometimes have been stigmatized very much with being gay. HIV is something that has been stigmatized with us being a condition without, or stereotyped rather, with something around our lifestyle, which isn't necessarily always the case. The focus and through my sort of mediums of writing and advocating and public speaking and different venues, one can always just only advocate that the focus, irrespective of everything else, should be on safe sex, all the other variables apart. So basically, I think it's something that on a continuous level that we thought needs to, be advocated. Obviously, HIV is a very serious condition or very serious matrix on the African and also in the South Africa context. But I do think it's something that would be continuously reiterated through sort of advocating that we are, prone to relationships and in every context, whether we be single or whether we be in a relationship. Or married for that matter of cases, safe sex is always a thing that should be a priority. And it is also something that's been addressed quite easily by in the political sector in the last year by leaders from other political parties. So I do think that it is something that is getting better as a situation. But obviously there's still a lot of work to be done around.
Okay. Now, apartheid still forms a large part of people's view of South Africa. You've been traveling around the world. In some countries, the LGBT community is still living in social apartheid. What do you think can be done to break down those barriers?
Well, my opinion with that has always been that South Africa prior or after 1992 got a very sort of progressive constitution. One is that is on par with other, international countries like Canada and so forth. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the sort of information or the rights that people enjoy that's written on paper sort of infiltrates the way that people think at a street level. So yes, I do think that there's still a certain amount of segregation, not only between LGBTI and heterosexual communities, but also between communities of just different sort of ethnic races and that kind of thing. I do think that especially in the demographic of my sort of age group and even younger, you know, unfortunately, I do think that those things are changing. But I mean, what people need to understand that it's a progression. At the end of the day, South Africa has as much of a rich, and if you want to use the term volatile or whatever the case may be, past as many other countries when it comes to sort of the recognition of equal human rights. But I do think that from a generation point of view, I can most certainly see that I do think that those things are getting better and that there's an integration of people mixing irrespective of their sort of background, ethnic origin or sexual orientation for that matter. At the end of the day, I do think a lot has been done in South Africa to sort of through point of sale material as well as advertisements and those kind of things to sort of try and breed a nation that is, you know, what we call the rainbow nation, and that basically, you know, accepting everybody into that sort of circle. So I do think that, it is getting better, but like everything else and like the previous question as well, it's continuous work. I mean, it's not something that's a progression, it's not something that's going to change overnight.
Well, see, that's a good question. That was Francois Nel. Now, he says that it's a progression. We've mentioned that it's a progression, and we've had several SMSs, haven't we, Tom?
We did. One of them says that, "I bet the rich white gays are more easily accepted than the blacks. Sad in this day and age."
And he says it's a wonderful show.
He does say that.
Yeah, but you know, it's true. It's well, we both, Tom and I both being Americans, we've seen a degree of the social segregation that goes on in the gay community in the U.S. I mean, it's not. We're not in any way, shape, or form going to paint a rosy picture there either.
I have to disagree with you, though, because we come from different parts of America.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm the West Coast, and let's be honest, we on the West Coast don't care the color of your skin. We just care about your bank account. So the integration, you know, yeah. I mean, and that's a blonde, a broad statement. It's not absolutely true.
It's a very blonde statement.
It was a blonde statement as well, yes.
But yes, no, you're right. But I'm saying, on the whole, the American path did mirror the South African path for many years, and then they just split. And I don't know quite when did that split to some extent occurred around the time in the 1960s during the
Civil
Rights.
It
was
in the 60s, and of course the last holdout was Mississippi, but it was the 60s, which is a considerable difference from the 90s.
Yeah, but see, the thing with South Africa is that our view of them was that we got over it. And
why can't they?
And even why can they act? How can they act like they like everything's hunky dory all of a sudden just because they have the laws on paper? But it was quite fascinating to hear what Francois said in that it's a march, it's a progression of things. But here's where I'm going to put a bit of a devil's advocate to you. Do you think to some extent he was trying to also paint things as being way better than they like that? Way better than they actually are. Was he trying to dismiss the idea that, oh, you know, it's not that big of a problem at all?
Well, you can look at it like that he was trying to dismiss it. I choose to look at it in the sense that that's how he sees it, that, you know, it's not that big of a problem in his world, and because he's out there fighting for it.
Yeah, but
it's an optimistic approach.
It's an optimistic approach, but see, I'm going to take another alternative here, is that How much interaction is there between the worlds? And that's a really big problem. When we only had about three non-white competitors in Mr. Gay World or Mr. Gay South Africa this year, how is that really reflective of a rainbow nation?
Well, that's a good question. And they do like to say, South Africans, that is, that they are the rainbow nation. And I believe that Mr. Gay World 2011 is going to speak a little bit more about that.
Yes. Here's more from Francois.
When you were running for Mr. Gay South Africa, how many non-white contestants were there?
It's countrywide. I think there was about, I think the entries were more or less between, 50 or 50, but it gets narrowed down in the finals, or the final leg of the competition gets, narrowed down to 12 people, in which we were only at 11 because one contestant pulled out. But yeah, the final round is about 11 people. and then Mr. Gay World is, I think, three people from all around the world.
But when you were in the South African contest, one of the big things that is a concern is that they want to have more non-white contestants. So do you think that can be improved?
You know, that's sort of a difficult situation at the moment because the ideal, obviously, even with Mr. Gay World, is to have, you know, four delegates from the African continent to represent. They do get a quota on how many people they must have from different sectors of the world. So a certain amount from Asia, a certain amount from Europe, at least four, I think, from the African sort of continent. It's also something that sort of close to my heart is the idea of having more contestants from the African continent because of the sort of situation or stance that Africa is on at the moment in terms of LGBTI rights. But as a continent, it is, you know, basically the place where most of the countries still don't respect equal human rights, and LGBTI people from the African continent don't enjoy equal human rights. And because of this reason, it makes it very difficult, you know, although it's the ideal, it makes it very difficult to have those contestants. You know, these pageants basically are medium to sort of advocate equal human rights, not only by speaking and sort of about the personal situation of the contestants, but the stance on equal human rights or what the LGBT rights is in their personal home countries. But because of it not always being a favourable sort of situation in their home countries, it makes it very difficult to have them in a competition like that. I mean, you can imagine if an individual, even if the individual is, say, from Zimbabwe, like we spoke previously with the situation of the Zimbabwean conditions pulling out of Mr. Gay World, you know, their expectancy is to be there, but at the end of the day, if they are from that country and it's their home country, a lot of pressure and that kind of thing can be applied with countries that still don't sort of respect their equal human rights. And that I think it is, although it's the ideal to have that many African delegates there, it's also a difficult situation in their personal capacity. So we understand it, and I think that, you know, just participation or just entering the competition is sort of a very brave achievement to begin with. But by the end of the day, we are, you know, very aware of the fact that it's not only the ideal ground for a contest and take, and because obviously there's publicity around something like that, and you never want to put it as an unfavourable situation or put the contestant in a place where they're not going to be safe or where they would face further discrimination. So, you know, it's sort of a careful situation as such, but it is the ideal. But once again, with it, I do think it will get better over time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
And that was, I'm going to try to pronounce his name. It was Karek Steinmetz and Johan Stemmetz with Do You Speak English? And apparently I don't speak Afrikaans.
No, but I don't blame you. I can't pronounce those names either.
And also we had a little bit earlier from the controversial, and there is a warning for explicit language on that one, song Reach Beach by De Antwoord. And De Antwoord is a very interesting group. To talk about painting a different image of South Africa here, they have a tendency to love to court controversy. They had a song that did a song called Fuk Ali Nyers, when yes, that does translate as what you think it means, which did feature the word faggot several times over, of which they kind of explained it away by saying, oh, one of our members is gay, so therefore we can say the word faggot as often as possible.
Really? So just because someone in the group was gay,
yeah,
they thought we could just throw the F word around,
yeah,
the other F word around, like, yeah, it was no big deal. Now, who's the gay person in the group, and why did they say, yeah, that's fantastically good?
I'm glad you asked that question, because the gay person in the Antwoord is the DJ called DJ Ninja.
And DJ Ninja
has a tendency to appear in the Antwoord's videos and promotional materials as a hidden character. He always has on a rubber mask, or he's got something that that doesn't show his real identity. Now, that makes you wonder, how can you really try to sort of say, hey, you're about claiming your sexuality, claiming your honesty, And you can't even show your own face.
Well, it is sort of an interesting thing that they claim that they can get away with that because one of their characters, and let's call it a character,
it's definitely
gay,
a character.
But the character is the hidden one. So I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'm not that terribly comfortable with that. And, you know, we figured we'd play a little bit of Afrikaans music because, you know, it's still a part of South Africa. And South Africa is such a diverse country, as we know very well. Now, let's hear a little bit more from Francois, shall we?
What do you think your legacy as Mr. Gay World will be, ultimately?
Well, I'd like other people to decide that, really. You know, it's sort of been a very personal avenue of interest for me. Obviously, I don't know the life of a gay man. And I do think that sort of the road, my age and the road to 50 sort of had quite a bit to do with it as well, being quite a reflective time for me, looking back on the sort of issues that you face, especially in your adolescent years, between sort of the ages of 14 and 18 or 14 and 19, where, you know, you might be facing quite a bit of injustice in terms of your sexual orientation and not always very expecting circumstance. And if there's anything that I'd like to get across, you know, in the year that I've been busy with the work is basically, you know, that at the end of the day, it does, like I've just done my Get Better campaign. And, I mean, what I like so much about this campaign is basically it speaks of exactly that time. And if anything I can get across to those people that are at those ages, they should cultivate the talents that they have to be the best they can be and not sort of be hindered by the internal conflict or sort of the hardships that can be faced with somebody at that age. I think, you know, when you are young like this, not always, you don't sort of, particularly for those people that have been in situations where their family and friends and that kind of thing don't understand or maybe don't accept them as they are, it is very difficult. But if there's anything, you know, that's special to me or that I'd want to get across in this year with the work that I've been busy with is that they should just be who they are, enjoy themselves and really cultivate their talents to be the best they can be.
Hi, this is Tim Campbell and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Worldwide Wave. Now, that was just Francois Nell, as well as Tim Campbell. Who's your other boyfriend? Tim Campbell's your other boyfriend, as we like to say.
Your other boyfriend.
Not
my other boyfriend.
Your other boyfriend. Now, here's a really funny thing. What do you feel we've kind of learned? Do you feel like we've kind of gotten something out of South Africa, or do you think that's still a bit of an enigma?
Well, I think we've learned some fascinating facts. My favorite fascinating fact was, you know, the military benefits. But we've learned that it's still a work in progress. And I think that that's one of the main things that we try and do in this show is we like to show progression. And there's clearly progression has been, there continues to be. And there are activists out there making sure that it continues to move forward. And I think that is what's important.
Very much so. I mean, South Africa... You've been close to it in Namibia, and I've kind of looked at it through many different eyes from afar. It's a frustrating country, and the reason why I say that we've gone from our difficult countries to at least frustrating, because you kind of sense the potential is there, but there's something holding it back, and we just don't know what it is exactly.
Something holding it back. What do you mean?
Well, by which I mean, I don't know. Is it the fact of the history of the country? Is it the chaos of it? Is it just the sheer fact of it's, you know, it's an enigma. It's a multi-ethnic country full of places, full of people where they aren't necessarily multi-ethnic. More after this.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and this is Worldwide Wave, where we have been on a stopover in South Africa. Thank you very much, Francois Nell, Mr. Gay World 2011, and Lance Wire, Mr. Gay South Africa 2011.
He'll be defending the title.
He will be defending the title. So we'd like to thank both of those guys, the hot guys, for taking some time speaking with us tonight about their home country, South Africa. We continue on next week with a new country, Ireland, I believe we're visiting.
Yes, and partly in honor of St. Patrick's Day, which will be coming very soon. Yes.
It is St. Patrick's Day coming up. Do we celebrate that here?
We ought to. We're one of the most Irish countries on earth outside of Ireland.
Well, I will be celebrating, so feel free to celebrate with me on St. Patrick's Day. But do tune in next week. In the meantime, now or later, you can always get us at worldwidewave@ymail.com. Tweet
at W3Joy, that's W, the number 3, J-O-Y. And thank you to our lovely SMSers who have been giving us a lot of interesting insight tonight. I think the last one said, it is social political as well. Fascinating that Australia isn't like that, or is it?
Ooh. A question to be left with. Thank you for riding the World Wide Wave. What are we leaving you with tonight?
We are leaving you with the song Godoba by Mendoza.
Listen to Joy 94.9's Worldwide Wave every Wednesday from 11 p.m. Melbourne, 10:30 p.m. Adelaide, and 8 p.m. in Perth.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.